Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for having me on the show today, and
I would like to just share my heart, but also a little bit of my story so that people can understand where I'm coming from and what my background is and how I came to know the Lord. And it's a privilege to be able to give our testimony. And my husband and I have a ministry that actually was birthed in my darkest time in life. And I wrote my first song Are we okay? Is everybody hearing me all right?
Yes, everybody. Okay, go ahead. Everybody all good?
Okay, I heard somebody saying muted and unmuted.
I did,
so
too.
We're okay?
I think, yeah, that might have been the recording just in power with
okay.
The radio blog.
Okay, because everybody here clearly. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Praise the Lord. All right. I think my husband's listening right now. He's at work. But this ministry was birthed in my darkest time, and I always encourage people, you know, and I want to encourage anybody listening today that if you're going through a hard time and it feels like you've lost everything, you know, don't despair. The Lord is doing something. If you're turning your life over to Him, He's working in that. And what I, now looking back, my life hit bottom about 15 years ago. And looking back, I see God was doing so much during the time in my life when I lost everything. And when I say I lost everything, I was a single mom going through divorce. I had been in an abusive relationship when I was younger. It was a domestic abuse situation. That threatened my life and the life of my family. And I was with a man that was very angry. And I had a lot of hurt habits and hang-ups because of that. And as I got into my late 20s, I had married somebody else early in my 20s, and I was going through a divorce. And I just felt like, you know, my life was coming to an end as I had known it. I'm going to take these earpieces off because I can hear absolutely everything that's going on there.
I can hear a lot, too. And everybody, does anybody can, if you put your phone on mute, if you have any kind of background so that we can hear this clearly, I appreciate that.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, thank you. I didn't know who was kind of rumbling around there, but my hearing isn't really good after 15 years of music, so... I have to concentrate here, but anyway, when I was in my teens, I got into an abusive relationship, and this man threatened to kill me and my family. I tried to get out. I couldn't. I didn't know what to do, and, you know, I was a people pleaser, so I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't tell my parents what was going on, and I learned to wear my mask that told everybody that I was okay and everything was fine, when in reality, anybody who's been through an abusive relationship knows that your heart shuts down because it's a defensive mechanism that's built into us to block the pain that's coming. And so I began to shut down emotionally, and I was a mess. After 3 years, I was completely numb, and I began to pray to the Lord. I wasn't a follower of Jesus at that time. I believed in Him, but I didn't follow Him. And I cried out to Him for about 6 months. And I said, Lord, You see the abuse I'm going through. You see that I'm going through physical, emotional, and verbal abuse almost daily by this man who's 10 years older than me. And I need some help here. I need You to get me out. And God, like the Red Sea parted, one day came 6 months later that my mom was able to take me away. And I got a restraining order, and it was kind of a big mess. But I believe if I had married that man that I would not be here today. I think he would have killed me. He threatened me often with that. And I just had this sense inside of me that it was probably the Lord back then just saying, don't marry this guy. So I got out of the relationship. But you know what? If we don't dig down and deal with the pain that's hiding under the surface, it will come out one day. And what I did was I stuffed it. I didn't deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was an 18-year-old kid. Nobody in my family went to church. You know, I didn't really know where to go or what to do. I was living with my aunt and uncle in the Newport Beach area, hiding out from this guy. And I just kind of went along. And I ended up getting married about a year later to the first guy that really that came along. And I was a mess. And, you know, I went on in that marriage for almost 10 years, and I knew who God was, but again, I really wasn't a follower of Jesus until that day came when my life hit bottom. And I don't look at hitting bottom as a bad thing. I look at hitting bottom as a wake-up call, and that's what it took with me. I forgot to say in high school, even though I was being abused for 3 years by the maniac, I call him the maniac. On the outside, I was valedictorian in my class. I was a straight-A student, head cheerleader, yearbook editor. And here I was in my late 20s going through a divorce, and I hadn't finished college. And I thought, what am I doing? My life is in shambles. I'm a mess. And where do I go from here? And it was that one defining moment in my life when I felt my need for God. And I cried out and I said, Lord, I need to know what to do because I am messing things up here. And I'm supposed to be, you know, valedictorian. I'm supposed to have answers in life. But God was showing me that that was the human view. That was the ways of man, not the ways of God. And that God's ways are higher and they're different. So I started going to a spirit-filled church in the Central Valley in California. I started to get with the older ladies in the church, and I went to their Bible study, and they started praying over me. And I believe I got delivered of a lot of things. Growing up, I had taken part in occult activities, not knowing it was a bad thing. But now I know, you know, if you touch the occult, which includes horoscopes or Ouija boards or even demonic movies, you know, movies that don't glorify God are going into our souls and they're affecting us. And I had taken part in things like Ouija boards and things like that. And as I got with this older group of ladies in this church, you know, I felt like my heart was loosed and I was delivered of some things that had me bound. And I'll tell you what, when we take part in the occult, whether it's even reading a horoscope or something that might seem very innocent, we do open a door to the enemy. It's like giving him a big permission sign that says, come on in, you have access to my life. And God began to show me the places in my life that I had made available to the enemy. And I tell you what, he was eating me for lunch. And I figured out through the Holy Spirit and through these older ladies in the church that I needed to close some doors in my life. And I began to clean my life out. And it was like one thing at a time God would deal with. First, it was secular music. I needed to quit listening to secular music and focus on the Lord. You know, it was movies. It was certain people in my life that were dragging me away from the Lord. And I've since learned that our relationships in our life will either push us toward God or they'll pull us away from God. And it's up to us to discern that, to see, is this relationship benefiting my life and is there a reason that God has this person in my life or is it a distraction and do I need to pray about what to do? And I was praying like there was no tomorrow. God, what do I do with my relationship? And I'll tell you what, the Lord, as I surrender my life to him, it was like he did it. He did most of it. I just had to let him go. And when the Lord would remove somebody from my life that was unhealthy for me, it was painful. I had to grieve it, but I also had to be willing to let it go. Because if we don't let go of the things that aren't healthy for us, we won't grow. We'll stay right where we're at. And there was a desire in me at that point that said, I want all that God has for me. And I want to know, why am I here? You know, I know I'm a single mom. I know I've got three beautiful children that I absolutely love with all my heart. I know that's one reason I'm here. But God, I know there's a reason that you placed me on this earth. And, you know, right during the time that my life hit bottom is when I wrote my first song. And I honestly thought that I don't know how to write music. I can't even read music. I've never had a music lesson in my whole life. I just grew up listening to country music as a kid. And so as I started to read the Bible and these songs started to come out, I thought, these are songs for me. God's using these songs to heal my heart. So every week I'd write a new song, and after about a year of this, you know, 52 or 53 or 54 songs later, I'm still thinking that, well, I think these songs are just for me because I'm so broken. You know, God's trying to teach me about himself. And then the Lord got me plugged in with a group called Celebrate Recovery in the church I was going to. And, you know, I don't know how many of you out there have been through Celebrate Recovery or just a Christ-centered recovery group or even AA or NA. But the first time I walked in to that group, I thought, I don't need this. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I don't know what I'm doing here. But when I heard those steps read for the first time in that large group meeting, I thought, I need this because I've been hurt by church. The maniac that I was with, I met at church. One of the very first times I went to church was I met that guy, and he was volunteering with the youth group that I was attending. So in my heart, I had thought people in church were safe, and then I found out, no, sometimes there's wolves hiding out in churches that are hurting people. So then I didn't know who to trust. But Celebrate Recovery gave me a middle ground to get my feet wet, if you will, and gave me a place to grow in my relationships and to start growing, most importantly, in my relationship with God. And then it helped me to transition into church, where I figured it out as God showed me. There are unsafe people in church, but you know what? There's a whole lot of safe people in church, just like in the world. And Jesus will never hurt us. He's a completely 100% emotionally safe for us, physically safe. He's never going to hurt us or demean us or, you know, just abuse us in any way, shape, or form. So I had to get my eyes off of man and my expectations there, and I had to realize that Jesus was calling me to a relationship with him and that he would order my life. He would build my life. And you know what? That he would protect me like I had never been protected before. And how does he do that? Well, he says you'll know a tree by its fruit. So he started to teach me about fruit in people's lives, and I would watch, and I would see somebody that would maybe was wanting to be my best friend and hang out with me, and then I would look at the fruit in their life, and sometimes God would say, that person's good for you, or sometimes the Lord would show me, no, I'm not putting that person in your life right now, and he started to order my life in a very miraculous way. I felt like my house was absolutely flattened in my late 20s. There was nothing left. I lost my house, my cars, my everything I had. But you know what? I look back and I think, thank you, Lord, because you absolutely rebuilt my life on what you wanted it to look like. So as I'm writing these songs and I'm going to Celebrate Recovery, the pastor asked me if I'd share my song, one of my songs I was writing, and I was so scared. I didn't want to get up in front of anybody. I had been made fun of a lot growing up when I tried to sing. And I always say this, too, that I realize now that Satan took my gift that God had given me, which is singing, and he wrapped shame all around it so that when I sang, I actually felt shame instead of rejoicing in the gift that God had given me. But it took me getting up in front of people to see that, why am I feeling like this? I can sing. I might not be perfect at it, but it's something that I like to do, but I feel ashamed when I do it. And God began to remind me of everything that had been said to me about my singing, which was, oh, you know, just all these negative things. And You know, I think sometimes people don't realize how much damage they're doing with their words. And as Christians, you know, we have to learn what to do with the shame, what to do maybe with the arrows that are fired at us, because not everything is from God. And sometimes somebody doesn't even mean to be mean, but it's just something that hits you just right in a tender spot. And so the Lord had to help me get over that. He had to help me heal from those wounds. And he also showed me I was wounding people with my words because I was wounded. And that was a hard one for me to swallow, but I had to face it. I had to face the fact that, you know, my heart's hurting, so I hurt people now with my words. And if I don't stop this, I'm going to do it to my kids and they're going to repeat it. And we want to stop that. We don't want that to be a generational cycle that continues. So there was just a lot of cleaning out that went on in my life during my stay at Celebrate Recovery, and it was really good. It was really hard. There was many times I just wanted to walk away. There was times I wanted to take my life. I was so in pain over so many things that God was dealing with in my heart, and I wasn't numbing myself. I wasn't dealing with it in any other way than just going to my support group, going to church, reading my Bible, worshiping, spending time with the Lord. But just to be completely honest, there were times I just wanted to end it. It felt like it was a mountain of things. But really, the deliverance really came in the day-to-day spending time with God, listening to his voice, writing down what he was showing me and believing it. And believing what God was telling me more than what people were telling me. And, you know, I praise God for that he rescues us. He pulls us out of our circumstances. He puts us on a rock, like the word says, and he gives us a song to sing. And we all have our own testimony. We all have our own story. We all have our own gifting. And that's really what God laid on my heart today. And also just that there, you know, when he calls us and anoints us and appoints us, there will be a cost. And it has cost me greatly to serve the Lord, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. And my husband and I are getting ready to move to Kansas, to Southwest Kansas, in 3 weeks. We've lived in California our entire lives. And by the way, I'm remarried, been married for almost 11 years. My husband is wonderful. He's my drummer, he's my road manager, my best friend other than Jesus, and he's just such a wonderful support. And when we do concerts and give our testimony, my husband talks about his alcoholism, and he's been sober since about around the year 2000. God is good. God strengthens us every day, but it has not been easy, and it has cost us, and it's continuing to cost us to serve Jesus. And the Lord this year told us, he said, I want you to be available for my purposes. In the story, that was really all he said. And then he started to open doors for us to live in Kansas, which is kind of funny because it's right in the middle of the United States. And we are more available for concerts and speaking engagements and things like that when we're in the middle of the country. We can get to California. We can get to New York. We can get to Florida. And is it costing us? Absolutely. We're having to give a lot up to move and to do what God's asking us to do. But, you know, I heard a speaker recently say, she said, you know, Jesus didn't die on that cross so that we could lay on the couch and be comfortable. She said, we're called to fight back the kingdom of darkness. We're called to get in that battle and push it back. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? And that's the conviction that we feel, that this is what God's given us to do, is our ministry with music and speaking into people's lives and recovery venues and just all kinds of different things. We go to prisons, rescue missions, churches. That's what God's given us to do. And I believe every one of us has an assignment and a call. And right now, the body of Christ is being called up to get into position to push back the darkness, get off the couches, get out of the comfort zones, and step out. And I'm preaching to myself, because I know it's not easy. I know it's going to cost. But I believe one day when we die and we see our fruit in heaven and what it amounted to, we're going to be really glad that we chose to follow Christ and not what, you know, our flesh wants to do, which is usually just kind of stay and huddle and be comfortable and be safe. And the Lord will always ask us to take risks. There are no guarantees. My husband and I have no savings account. We have no house that we're selling. We have nothing to fall back on except the Lord. Our full-time income will be concerts and speaking engagements. But God is asking us to do it, and we know he's going to provide. So I would like to open it up to questions. I don't know if we have time, but that was really what I wanted to share today, and I hope that blesses somebody listening today. Thank you, Faith.
Amen. Yes. Does anyone have any questions and comments? And try to make them short, because we do want to hear a song from Heather, if possible. So anybody have any questions or comments real quick?
Amen. This is Sister Beverly. That was just an awesome, awesome testimony, Sister Heather, to have heard this afternoon. It was just really, truly a blessing to just hear how God has been moving in your life, because God is such an awesome God, and he moves uniquely in different people's lives. And there was a lot of things that you said here. I mean, you were just packed with a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I picked up on about how being at rock bottom, so to speak, I can't remember exactly how you phrased it, but it's not always, it's not a bad thing, because it's down in those trenches that God can reach down and pull a person back up. And I also was taken with your testimony when you spoke about how the older women in the church that you turned to and how they were of a great help unto you. And so that's what God's word calls us to do in the book of Titus, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks about the older women, how we are to train the younger women, because they won't know the way except somebody is there to help them and to lead them and to guide them. And then the only other point that I'll say here, when you were mentioning about that recovery group that you were in, you know, there's different churches, and my church is one of them, where they have what's known as a grief recovery. And it's not just a grief recovery for people that have suffered, like the death of someone in their families or something like that, but it's a recovery about many things, many losses that people have suffered in their life. It may be that you suffered a loss when you were younger and you didn't know any better, and maybe you gave your virginity away, or was just you know, it's just an innumerable amount of things. And then some people are just walking around, they're holding on grudges that they need to release and let go of and stuff of that nature. So it's like a full-out recovery. And at our church, anybody that's going to be in any type of a leadership role there, they must go through this grief recovery, okay? And so, you know, as you were speaking about the type of recovery that you were going through at your church, I was thinking about what we have at our church, and other churches that I know of use that same format, that grief recovery. So I think that you did a very powerful delivery today, and I praise God for you, and I pray that everything that the Lord has for you, it shall come to pass, and you are moving in a portion of your life where you are really stretching out on faith and believing the Lord, because he's taking you to Kansas, and you're believing that he's going to make a way. And so I praise you, sister. God bless you for your testimony.
Thank you. Amen. I received that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For me, I did also have abusive relationships, and it was hard to be able to heal from those things. And I heard how you were saying there's different places God has to heal you in those places. And I, too, have gone through those things as well. Matter of fact, you said something about digging deep. I wrote a poem about digging deep, because you really have to get deep down inside of your core of who you are and uproot those things that have been embedded in your heart, which makes it so hard. But it's like, how much do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another thing when you were saying, like, get up off the couch. What is the cost of following Jesus Christ? It's going to cost you everything, especially when you know who God is and you see somebody else out there that is lost. You have to get up and help them because you know now, and you have to help them because God has placed people in your life to help you get uprooted and healed. The same
Amen.
Thing with them. If God going to lead you to those people that you need to help. And so this has been an awesome testimony. It really touched me in so many ways, and I am just so thankful for what you spoke on today, Heather.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Amen. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
And can I just say that if people want to listen to our music, they can go to our website, heatherlanelayne.com, and our music is on there. You can sample it and see where we're going to be, if we're going to be in your neck of the woods. We'd love to meet you at one of our concerts. Our concerts are always free of charge, and we're looking for concerts. So if you're a church or Celebrate Recovery Group might want to bring us in, just shoot us an email on our website. There's a contact page. And, you know, we want to be busy for the kingdom. God, he wants us available. We want to be busy. So we welcome any invitation. But thank you, Faith, again, for having us, having me today.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And, anybody else have any more comments or questions?
I just wanted to say thank you for sharing your testimony today. And, it's been very encouraging, and I hope that
Thank
there
you.
Are others out there that will listen that could benefit from hearing your word today. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Sister Faith?
Was there somebody else? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Got the music.
Okay. I just want to make a comment on what she was saying when she was at that church, and she was looking for help, looking, imagine, for a family of faith, because if those people would have recognized that the church is not a building, but people who knows God, and they're supposed to express their love in the way that they live with one another, and when some come in, somebody come in that's hurt, stressed, depressed, they're supposed to see the Spirit of God on them, and they're supposed to have an interacting with that individual, not gossiping, not back-telling. Together, that person in love, give them hugs, find out what their needs are, because a lot of people will come in looking for a family situation to dissolve and filter out all the stress and the trials and the tribulations and abuse that they've been through. And that's what the church is, a healing institution for broken people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that found someone, one that will, at a church that will help you learn that God is... Church is a living organism, and it represents a living temple, which is the body of Christ, and also family of God, also led by the Father himself, but Jesus is the head of the church. And when churches find out who the head is, I think then the body can become a living temple and organism of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, are we going to be able to get a song in there? Maybe not.
Do you want me to sing it? Is there enough time?
We got about 2-3 minutes. We can do it.
Okay, so I'm going to sing one about what that gentleman was just talking about. About what church could feel like when we walk in. And when I first walked into Celebrate Recovery, this is what I felt like. I felt welcomed as I was. I felt like I felt loved right where I was at. And I realized the church is like that. And there's many, many churches that way. And so I wrote a song about it. And it's called Keep Coming Back. This is a brand new song. Hopefully I'll sing it in the right key. This place is full of grace. It's got me so amazed. And I never felt this way And Jesus welcomes me, flaws and everything, and I found a family, forever family, keep coming back. It works if you work it, stay on track. Gonna keep on, keep coming back. Works if you work it, stay on track. I'm walking honestly, this love is changing me, and I am free to be me. I'm reaching out for healing, sharing, no more concealing, and I never felt so free. I'm gonna keep on, keep coming back. Works if you work it, gonna stay on track. I'm gonna keep on, keep coming back. Works if you work it, stay on track. There you go.
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful.
That was
beautiful.
Thank you. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Heather.
You're welcome.
Sister Beverly, would you like
Amen.
To close us in prayer?
Oh, sure will. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we just praise and we thank you so much for allowing us to have our guests on today, Sister Heather. And we just thank you, Father God, for all that you have poured into her so that she could speak out to us and speak out to others. And we just pray that so many people will be touched by her testimony, that they would be encouraged by her testimony. And we pray, Father God, that you would continue to uphold our sister as she makes this leap of faith, believing you, Father God, to be taking her and her family into Kansas. And Father God, I'm believing right along with her, Father God, because if you're calling her there, you've got a way that you're going to continue to provide, because you are the one who is the great provider. So I just thank you so much for everything that we have heard here today and the things that have flowed into each and every one of our hearts. I pray for everyone that is on the line at this time that have heard with their own ears what this sister had to say today. And I pray for each and every person, Father God, that will ever hear this recording. And we just thank you for the day and times in which we live, that something like this can be recorded, that will just continue on infinitum, that each piece, that people coming after us will be able to hear this. And we just give your name the praise and the glory and the honor and all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Heather, for your
testimony
you. And your music. And I'm going to take a note of the song. I don't put this on the radio blog, and I make sure you get it as well. And with all this, I want everyone to have a good evening. God bless you. And
God bless you.
Wednesday.
Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.